morning. Court radio is now in session. Call 215-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Welcome back. It's 2025. I'm still Dean Weitzman, your host at Court Radio every Saturday morning, joined in the studio with the firm, Manny Manuel Glenn.
Happy New Year, Dean.
Happy New Year to you as well. And we got Eric Tactics Jackson tickling the keys.
2025. We here, baby.
We made it to the other side.
Yeah. Well, folks, I don't know. How long have we been doing this? It's been a long journey on Court Radio, probably more than 15 years,
easily.
I would say.
Easily.
Yeah. And some of our listeners have been with us the whole time. I thank you so much for your loyalty and your participation every Saturday morning while we tackle legal issues right here at the studio, 555 City Ave. On 100.3 WRNB.
And Classics 107.9.
So, we thought today's show should be about what we should do at the dawn of a new year with our various obligations, insurance policies, life insurance, 401ks, all that stuff that we kind of do and then tend to forget. You know, and just go into auto pay or what have you and not really pay too much attention to it after you've gotten it and figure, one day I heard Dean say something about something and I'll change that. But the day never gets here. And then you have that need for the policy. And what happens is you don't have what you need. I want to give an example. I have a client this month. Came in to see me. She was involved in an accident, not her fault. And her fairly new Tesla was banged up pretty bad. And it was towed over to the PPA parking lot. Now, here's where the problems begin. So they turn to their insurance company and they called in and say, hey, my wife was in an accident. They call the other insurance company, the at-fault driver's insurance company, and tell them, you know, we were the victims of this accident. And here's how it plays out. The at-fault driver's insurance company, well, that guy, he just bought a cheapy-deepy policy. And he has minimum coverages. What is minimum coverages in Pennsylvania? Well, he has $15,000 in bodily injury claim that you can collect for a bodily injury claim, $15,000. Unfortunately, the woman I'm representing who was involved in this accident smashes her face on the steering wheel and deviates her septum, will require nasal reconstructive surgery. And her case is worth a heck of a lot more than $15,000. That insurance company has offered already, its case is a month old, has offered us the $15,000. Luckily, this woman has uninsured and underinsured motorists to the tune of $100,000. So we'll collect the $15,000 from the at-fault driver, and then we'll turn to our client's carrier for the balance of her claim. If her claim exceeds $100,000, then we'll collect $100,000 from her carrier. If I believe that the claim exceeds $100,000 and they don't offer us $100,000, we'll file suit against her carrier and bring them to court and argue on behalf of our client. Okay, that's the bodily injury. Let's get back to the property damage, that poor old Tesla that was sitting at the PPA lot. So our clients go on the website of Tesla. They find an authorized Tesla repair shop, and they call them, and that shop says, we'll pick up the car. We have a tow guy. We'll send our tow guy, and the guy goes down to get the car and brings it from Philadelphia to Berwyn. Now, the at-fault company, here's where it really gets crazy. The at-fault company has $10,000 worth of property damage coverage. That's all they have. The Tesla's worth $37,000, and the shop it's brought to says the car is totaled. Car is totaled. Okay. My clients had leased the vehicle. The at-fault company says, here's our $10,000. Well, where's the other $27,000 going to come from for the full value of this vehicle? My clients call their own insurance company. Now, this is a leased vehicle, folks. You cannot lease a vehicle without having all of the coverages that you need to have, which will include comprehensive. What is comprehensive insurance? Anybody in the firm know what that is?
Tactic.
Comprehensive insurance basically covers anything. You know, I'm not really sure.
All right.
I'm not really sure.
I don't know how many of our listeners know what this is. If you do, you give us a call at 215-227-2727. The number for all things legal in Philly and especially court radio on Saturday mornings, 215-227-2727. Comprehensive.
I just know that comprehensive came into effect when my car was stolen.
Okay. All right. There you go. So, you know, what is the word comprehensive usually means? Everything.
Everything else.
Everything.
Right.
It's comprehensive. It covers everything.
So non-collision related damage.
He has his phone in his hand, folks. Do not despair.
Do not think he has oversmarted me.
Oversmarted.
Okay. All right.
Go on.
Comprehensive insurance covers everything other than collision. Fire, typically, floods, theft, whatever would harm, destroy your car that did not arise from a motor vehicle accident. Now, it may even be covered, comprehensive may even be covered under your situations where you're in a parking lot, you're in the store, you come back, the car is damaged, you don't know how it got damaged, but it's damaged, and that may be covered under comprehensive, not collision. Collision, two cars operating and they crash into one another, and collision will apply, even if you're at fault or if you're not at fault. It doesn't matter. You can turn to your insurance company under any circumstance if you have collision coverage. Well, unfortunately for my clients, with this brand new Tesla with a leased vehicle, they thought comprehensive was the be-all, end-all, and they did not get collision coverage.
How did they get away with it?
Because there was a series of people who dropped the ball. The insurance agent did not explain to them and warn them with specificity that if they were involved in an accident that was their fault, or if they were involved in an accident that wasn't their fault but the people didn't have enough insurance, that they would be on the hook for their car if it was involved in a collision. Not, likewise, when they sent the policy, which is a requirement, to Tesla, Tesla didn't check the policy thorough enough, and they, too, allowed them to lease this vehicle without the proper insurance coverage.
Interesting.
And so here we are. We have a client who's got $37,000 in property damage, and they have $10,000 worth of a payment, and they're on the hook for $27,000. And I have so many clients who are involved in accidents with folks and get really catastrophic losses that exceed the policy limits of all the available policies. And they say, well, why don't you sue the defendant? Why don't you? He's the one who caused all this problem. Why am I suffering with these problems? He or she caused these problems. And the answer is very simple. You can sue the defendant. You can sue the at-fault party. You can get a judgment against them. The question then becomes whether you will ever collect that judgment and what will it cost you to obtain it. You will have to go to court. Mm. You will have to bring your doctors in and your experts in, and it will cost you tens of thousands of dollars. And at the end of the day, you'll get a piece of paper with a judgment against the defendant. But if the defendant doesn't have liquid assets that you can discover, find, capture, and, you know, execute against, you'll never collect a nickel. And that's the truth. And that's why we have insurance, because we know that if somebody else is not doing right by us, they don't have sufficient coverage or don't have coverage at all. If we don't have sufficient coverage on our own policies, we will, in all likelihood, never collect the losses we've sustained. So we get insurance to protect ourselves, not other people. When you get large policies and you're then permitted to get large uninsured and underinsured policies, you're doing that to protect you and your family, no one else. 215-227-2727. Let's talk to Joe on line one.
Oh, morning, hey, Joe. Happy New Year. The first of the year.
Do you know why Joe hung up?
Why?
Answer this question.
Manuel. It was Manuel's fault. Manuel answered the question on comprehensive insurance, and that was Joe calling. He probably didn't.
He probably knew.
Yeah, he knew. Like, didn't use his phone and Google it. He probably just knew.
I'm sure Joe did. Joe, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to steal your shine.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Joe. Well, we still do.
Dean, insurance is expensive, man. But you telling folks, bite that bullet. It's worth it.
Listen.
Well, mine's is.
Yeah, mine's is.
Yeah. I mean, there's some people's insurance is astronomical. You live in the wrong zip codes.
I am one of those people.
And, you know, maybe you had your policy lapse once or twice in the last few years.
Ooh.
And then, you know, and why is lapsed policies important? Well, insurance companies want to make sure they get paid. And when they see somebody who's been purchasing insurance and then paying for a month and then letting it lapse, that's a warning sign for them, and they charge greater rates for things of that nature. I think
it's almost like insurance credit.
Yeah, it is almost like insurance credit. They look at if you've ever had any prior accidents. Obviously, that's going to raise your rates. Even if you have prior claims, let's say you have multiple theft claims for things in your vehicle and they had to repair the car because it was broken into. All of those things go into the mix. And so some people pay astronomically high rates, but what I am telling you is that the most money you pay for insurance is for that basic policy, for the fact that they stand behind you, that company. When you go to add on additional coverages or instead of 15, you get 50, that does not double, triple, quadruple the premiums you're going to pay. They incrementally increase, not by very much. You're paying almost all the money for a $15,000 policy. Just the fact that the insurance company has to stand behind you or insure your vehicle or what have you, that's where most of the coverage money goes. And then getting better policies does not cost all that much more. And you know, yeah, you may only use that policy once every 10 years. Who knows? But I assure you, if you have the right coverages and you really need to use that policy, you will believe at the end of the day that it was worth it to have spent that money.
I can say that adding on the necessary things you have told us to has not cost me more than $7 to $10.
See?
And I was living in Philly at the time. So since I moved to my new zip code, I don't have those problems. But the other thing is, when you think about what can happen on the other side, if you don't have it, it doesn't cost that much. When he, like the stories he's telling us about, well, if you don't have this, you're going to have to pay out of pocket $20,000. That's not your insurance policy. You don't pay that.
If you sustain a significant injury and I can collect $100,000 for you for that injury. But instead, you only collect $15,000 because you didn't have uninsured and underinsured motorists, and the defendant who hit you only has a $15,000 policy. You have essentially lost $85,000. Now, spread that over your insurance lifetime and look back and go, wow, why wasn't I smart enough to follow Dean's advice? Because that's what happens all the time. I see it all the time. You clients, every time they leave the house, even, if, you know, especially if it's your body and your ability to earn a living and your ability to be pain-free, these things have significant value. And if you leave the house with a $15,000 uninsured motorist policy, or maybe none at all, you are taking a risk every time you leave the house that you're going to sustain that injury that could have recovered for you $100,000 that you didn't get because you didn't have it. And it only has to happen once for you to realize that that was a big, big mistake. So you want to get yourself, you want to look at your insurance policies. And you want to make sure that you have all of the coverages you need. And you and talk to other people or talk to me. Email me your policy. You know, email me your question to dean@myphillylawyer.com. I'll be happy to answer questions about insurance policies. Because, again, whether I'm your attorney or somebody else is your attorney, it's your claim, it's your life, it's your ability to be compensated appropriately under those circumstances. And it pains me when clients are involved in losses, not their fault, and they're going to suffer with them perhaps for a long time or maybe the rest of their lives. And they get zero compensation or insufficient compensation because you didn't have a big enough policy. You couldn't protect yourself. Going outside without a good policy is like buying a lottery ticket. Will I get hit by someone who has sufficient coverage and I'll be fully compensated for my injuries? Or will I be hit by someone who, like me, has insufficient coverage and I'll be stuck carrying that bag for the rest of my life?
In other words, if you're not hit by a vehicle with a logo,
yeah,
probably, well, yeah, you know,
or a Bentley,
oh yeah,
or an electric Porsche,
or an electric Porsche, yes.
Oh, is it Porsche?
Yes,
Porsche.
Yes, Porsche. So there is no substitute.
It's all a
risky
risk.
Business.
Yeah, it's all a risk if you don't have the right coverage.
Absolutely.
All the risk.
Yeah. I wonder if there's listeners who have been in similar circumstances that can attest to and witness for me what I'm talking about. 215-227-2727. 215-227-2727. The number for all things legal in Philly. It's not only auto policies. You know, if we're employees at companies, we have 401 plans, 401k plans, we have stock plans, we have life insurance policies. Have you looked at those? Do you know who your beneficiary for those policies are?
Yeah.
Have those beneficiaries over the years that you've been an employee changed? Like, you know, you got divorced, you didn't change your policy, or, you were giving the money to your best friend and your best friend's now passed away or you don't like them anymore. You know, there's so many changes that occur in our lives. And then we forget that we've left some baggage behind with these various policies. You want to make sure that your assets are going to whom you say they should be going or that you would like them to be going. Of course, you can clean that all up with a will as well. But, you know, certain things, like if you leave everything in your will, I leave everything in my will to you, Eric. But I had purchased a policy and I stuck Manuel's name on it. And Manuel and I are now on the outs, which is why he's not in my will. And then, you know, I forget that policy, which is, you know, I purchased maybe 10 years ago, still has Manuel's name on it. I pass and Manuel gets the policy and I'm rolling over in my grave doing flips and turns.
I'm thankful. My friend Dean.
he forgave me in the end. No, I didn't. No, I did not.
And also, it was advised, I heard from someone else, that even though you have a life insurance policy, you should actually have a burial policy.
Well,
it's not directive in the life insurance policy how much of that life insurance policy goes towards.
Absolutely not. The beneficiary gets 100% of the policy.
Exactly.
Now, I suppose you could, make a clause in the policy to pay for your funeral so that you didn't buy a separate policy. But, you know, a funeral policy, if you're fairly young, is probably a pretty cheap enterprise anyway. What's a funeral cost? 10 grand? 15? You know, something in that ballpark?
I haven't had one yet. Not sure.
And so, 20 even, if you're young enough, that's probably not a big deal. But yes, the policy, if it is listed, if a beneficiary is listed, that beneficiary has no obligation to turn back any of that money to bury you. And so a consideration, lots of considerations. Let's talk to Bert on line one. Hey, Bert, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Bert. Bert's gone.
Wow.
Did we answer his question?
Maybe. What car insurance coverages should he have?
Well, he should email you.
He should.
And you respond to those emails, too.
Maybe he will. Maybe he has already. Who knows? But again, that email address is dean@myphillylawyer.com. If you've got a insurance question and I can answer it, I would be happy to do so. And
insurance seems nuanced, contrived, and for a lot of folks, they get overwhelmed looking at these policies, looking at the differences between comprehensive and collision. At the end of the day, folks are trying to save money when it comes to insurance, and we're speaking against that, saying this is the money you need to be putting out.
As I've said before, I can contrive ways for you to save money on your policy for coverages that aren't as important and use those savings to purchase pieces of the policy that are more important. Mm-hmm. For instance, we're talking about collision coverage. If you have an older car, you got a 1994 Honda Accord, and it has 80,000 miles, and it's in great shape, and you love the car. That's great, but that car has a fair market value of $3,000 or $4,000, and it is not worth insuring any longer. If you have an accident and the car is destroyed, and that accident was your fault, or you got hit by somebody with no insurance, yes, you're taking a $3,000 or $4,000 risk. But if you are paying $300 or $400 a year for collision coverage on that car, you could take that $300 or $400, pad it into your uninsured or underinsured motorist, go from $15,000 to $50,000 or $100,000, and that's a better risk for you to take. So there is nuances here. You have to consider all of the issues. What is your budget? What's the most you can spend? How can we create a policy that will give you the most protection for the least amount of money? I'm not looking to spend your money unwisely, but sometimes you have to give these things some deeper thought. 215-227-2727. We've got callers, and I'm going to pick them up now. Line four, Dawn. Good morning. Welcome to Court Radio, Dawn.
Hello.
Hi. What's your problem or issue?
Okay, so I had an accident back in March in New Jersey, and my car that I just purchased was totaled. I was hit by a 17-year-old driver that just got his license, and it was his fault. He came out of a stop sign. He got a ticket, but subsequently, he paid his way out of his ticket. But they paid for my car. But I have a lawsuit with another attorney firm. It's been going back and forth. They offered me USAA, which is his policy, offered me $20,000. But I'm trying to recoup some more money on it. I had a fractured sternum in the injury. and a totaled vehicle. And the other insurance company said that was a fair price.
Okay.
He has $100,000 viable on his policy.
Okay. All right. That's a lot of good information, Dawn. And here's what I would say. For me to determine the value of your case and whether $20,000 is a fair number would require me to examine each and every medical record that you have and sit down and speak with you at length and really see how this accident has impacted your life and in what ways you've sustained losses. Then I can have a better understanding of the value of your case. I will say that a fractured sternum is a serious injury. You don't fracture your sternum without injuring significantly your neck, your back, your shoulders, your lower back. I mean, because obviously you've gotten a significant impact into your torso, which impacts all parts of your body. And so I'm sure you treated with doctors for more than simply the fractured sternum, though that in and of itself is a significant injury. Sternums heal. They're not bones that are like your joints, like your knees, your elbows, your shoulders, where you're moving them all the time. But I could see, you know, in the sternum area where you'd have trouble breathing. I don't know if that's continuing to go on. Again, we would have to spend some amount of time sitting down and talking to one another. But I will say that just off the cuff, my honest answer is $20,000 doesn't sound like enough, but it may be. Again, I would have to look at everything. If you're not sure, and I tell my own clients this, once in a while I have a client who I've gotten a settlement offer for, significant, I think, fair, I think. They don't, and I invite them to talk to other attorneys to share their information. Get a second opinion. You know, that there's nothing wrong with that. But you can't get a second opinion in this fashion. You have to, the attorney has to review everything. Sometimes I get a client from another attorney and I review all the documents and I say to the client, I think the attorney's done a fine job. I think that whatever is being offered or whatever suggestions the attorney has, I think that that's a reasonable approach to this claim. And I send the client back to the attorney. Other times, the client, I agree with the client. I think the attorney can do better, and they end up becoming clients of mine. A client can move from an attorney, from one attorney to another, simply by discharging the first attorney, retaining the second attorney. And then the two attorneys usually will work out some equitable split on the fee. So it doesn't usually cost the client any more money to do that. Dawn,
okay. All right. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you for calling us.
Again, I wondered about that.
Yeah, Dawn, if you want to reach out, you can always send an email to dean@myphillylawyer.com. Let's talk to Diggity on line two.
No Diggity, no doubt.
Yes.
Hello,
Diggity.
Hey, how y'all doing? I follow y'all all the time. All right, I got a quick question about a dram shop case. My son passed away in the dram shop case, so we wind up suing the short company of the person he was driving with that crashed into a wall and killed him. And then we wind up suing, I believe, my wife's insurance company, too. But the lawyer is stating to us, like, look, all those cases, as far as it goes with the insurance company, is settled. It's maxed out, whatever it is. But we're waiting on the dram shop case. Explain that to me and how that works, because in my eyes, I'm like, oh, well, you just holding on for what? Like, either they had insurance, they didn't have insurance. Either we got a case, we don't have a case, but we're going on approximately like 3 years. And nothing can replace my son, but, you know, what are we looking at here?
Okay. All fair questions, Diggity. And my condolences for the loss of your child. There's no replacement, no financial replacement. In fact, any client who's lost a child that I've represented would easily give up all the money they collected in the claim for another 10 minutes with their child.
That's true.
So that has to be said. A dram shop case is a claim brought against a bar or an establishment with a liquor license. that has over served a guest of theirs to the point where they're no longer safe to themselves or others. And that person then subsequently gets into a car, drives, and causes an accident. Oh. That is a dram shop claim. And those are typically, number one, deeper pocket claims. You have insurance policies that may have $1 million in coverage or more, whereas the vehicles involved probably don't have anywhere near that. And the attorney is simply saying the value of your son's death is substantially more than the cumulative value of all the auto policies we were able to collect. And therefore, I'm going to continue to pursue this claim against this at-fault liquor liability establishment, this licensee, who I'm going to attempt to show overserved the driver of this vehicle because he was, you know, 0.3 or whatever. And there was witnesses who placed him in the bar and that he was falling down drunk and they were still serving him alcohol and let him leave the establishment in that condition. That's a dram shop claim. And if one exists, and I've brought many in my career, if one exists, then you should pursue it. Pursue it not only for your own compensation, but to penalize the establishment and to let them know that that type of behavior should no longer exist.
Okay. All right.
All right, Diggity. Good luck with your case. Thank you for being a loyal listener.
And our sincere condolences.
Thank you. Thank you, y'all. Y'all take it easy. Have a great morning, y'all.
Be safe.
Bye now. Folks, we're out of time. We'll be back in 2 minutes after my sponsors have their way with you. And if you're on the line, stay on the line. We'll be right back. 215-227-2727. Give us a call if you've got an issue.
I grew up here, went to school here, raised my kids here. I know Philly, and Philly knows me. I started My Philly Lawyer because if you've been injured, your lawyer matters, and choosing someone local matters. It matters to the insurance company, it matters to the jury, and most importantly, your lawyer matters when it comes to getting results. If you've been injured, call us now, 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I grew up here, went to school here, raised my kids here. I know Philly, and Philly knows me. I started My Philly Lawyer because if you've been injured, your lawyer matters, and choosing someone local matters. It matters to the insurance company, it matters to the jury, and most importantly, your lawyer matters when it comes to getting results. If you've been injured, call us now, 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I grew up here, went to school here, raised my kids here. I know Philly, and Philly knows me. I started My Philly Lawyer because if you've been injured, your lawyer matters, and choosing someone local matters. It matters to the insurance company, it matters to the jury, and most importantly, your lawyer matters when it comes to getting results. If you've been injured, call us now, 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I grew up here, went to school here, raised my kids here. I know Philly, and Philly knows me. I started My Philly Lawyer because if you've been injured, your lawyer matters, and choosing someone local matters. It matters to the insurance company, it matters to the jury, and most importantly, your lawyer matters when it comes to getting results. If you've been injured, call us now, 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
More legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome back. I am Dean Weitzman, your host at Court Radio every Saturday morning right here on 100.3 WRNB.
And Classics 107.9.
So a snowstorm is coming.
Snowstorm is a-coming on Monday. We're expecting to get maybe up to 3-4 inches of snow on Monday.
Yes.
How does that affect accident claims?
Well, it creates the potential, if folks don't drive very carefully, of having more accidents than we typically have on a clear day. So be careful out there on Monday. And stay in if you can, and if you can't, just drive very slowly.
You know what else is the theme of snowstorm?
What is?
Slip and fall.
Yeah, that happens too.
Treat those pavements and sidewalks, folks.
I have actually, you know, I have seen clients who have sustained just life-altering injuries from a simple slip and fall accident.
Yeah.
You hit your head, you're an older person, you break a hip. These things don't get fixed, if at all, very easily. And
ice, man.
Yeah, you got to be extraordinarily careful.
And again, the property owner's at fault if that happens, right?
Most of the time, okay. You know. Sometimes it's the property owner. Sometimes it's a property management company that is responsible. Mm. Sometimes it's a snow removal company that is responsible. Mm. When given an opportunity to walk in a safe or unsafe way, sometimes it's the client's responsibility. So if you have... You know, you can go route A and encounter a dangerous condition, or go route B and not encounter that dangerous condition, then the client plays a part in their own loss.
Because you chose to go that way.
You chose to, or you didn't think slowly and long enough about what you were doing. Okay. You were kind of just out there. Anyway. Yes, snow is coming. We got lots of callers, so I'm going to hit the calls and keep going on those. Line one, Bert has called back. Hey, Bert, welcome to Court Radio.
How you doing?
Well, thank you.
Welcome back.
Lower your radio and let's have a quick chat.
Okay, so I heard a comment that you made about having the proper insurance. So I'm with a company called National General. I was just looking over the policy. It says it's $15,000 to $30,000. I have no comprehensive, no collision. And you, the comment you made was something about uninsured and no insured.
Yep.
So I wanted to know. I want to know what to do to how to change my policy to get what I should have to protect me in case something happens.
Yep. All good questions, Bert. What you need to do is send me an email to dean@myphillylawyer.com, and I will send you back a list of coverages you want to have. But very quickly, you want to make – I don't know what year your car is. What year is your car, Bert?
It's a 2010 Audi A4 and a 2007 Lincoln Navigator.
And do you have notes on them, or are they owned outright?
No, owned outright, correct.
Okay. So – you got to look at the value of those vehicles, make a decision whether you want to have collision and comprehensive, and then you want to look at your uninsured and underinsured motorist and make sure that you've chosen those coverages. And then understand that you have a 1530 policy, which means the most your company would ever have to pay you if you do have uninsured and underinsured motorist, if that's the maximum liability policy you have is 15, then that's the maximum uninsured and underinsured motorist you can get. If you want more uninsured and underinsured motorist for to protect you and your family, if you're hit by somebody who doesn't have insurance or doesn't have enough insurance, then you need to increase your liability coverage above 15,000, because those sort of dance in step with one another. And so, again, if you have collision and comprehensive and you're willing to risk the vehicles you have because they're not worth all that much, and you can replace them if you have to, then, you know, use the savings on comprehensive and collision to buy a better policy with uninsured and underinsured motorists. Simply moving dollars from one area of risk to another. You know the risk involved in your car. I mean, if it's an $8,000 car, then that's what you're risking. If you're at fault for an accident, your car is stolen, or you're hit by somebody who doesn't have insurance, you're risking $8,000 if you don't have comprehensive and collision. But then you're also risking a lot if you're involved in an accident with bodily injuries and the guy who hits you doesn't have insurance and you don't have uninsured and underinsured motorist, because then you don't have the collision or the bodily injury coverage that you need.
Gotcha. Okay. Sorry, I got you now.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Bert.
Have a great day. I'll send you an email.
All right. Thank you. I'm going to look for it.
Happy Saturday, you and the fellas, all right?
Thanks, got it, Bert.
Thank you.
All right, Bert.
Bye-bye.
All right, let's keep going here. Line two, Carl. Line two, Carl is gone. Yeah, okay. Well, that he got hit in a rental car. That's a whole nother issue.
He was in a rental car.
He was in a rental car. Let's talk to Nikki on line five. Nikki?
Yo. Hey, boys. Happy Saturday.
Hey, hey. How are you, Nikki?
Good, good. Go Birds. Can't wait for Tanner McKee to start tomorrow. Yeah, quick question. Not question, but about collision insurance. I was driving one time through a state park and, you know, smoking a cigarette and freaking a whole nest of squirrels fell on the tree and it caused me to crash. I had to use comprehensive on that because it was considered an animal hit. So people don't realize if you hit an animal too, you know, that comprehensive is when it kicks in.
Yep.
Cause damage to my car.
It is not collision.
Yeah, that's an interesting point,
yep.
and one well taken. So if you didn't have comprehensive in that circumstance, but you had collision, you would have been uninsured for that loss.
That's right. And let me ask you something. Is this just related to insurance policy questions? I know you said all things legal.
No, you can send me. Any listener of Court Radio has my email, can send me any question they want. I'll try to answer it, and if I can't, I'll try to direct you to somebody who might be able to.
Sure, I'll try to simplify it. If a family member dies, is it better to, is it better to gift a house to someone, or is it better to have them inherit it through estate tax? I know some people sell a house a little less than fair market value for the step-up basis. Or is it better to just let it go to subsequent family members upon death?
Well, all right. So there's going to be a death tax in many instances. If you gift it to if it escheats or goes to through the death of one to another, there's going to be an estate tax unless it's a spouse. And that can be, that tax can be as high as 15%, I believe. Although that's a question for
right,
Saul, but not, go ahead.
Understood. No, because my understanding was that when you gift, there's a lifetime exemption and an annual exemption. So if I was to give Dean, I think, I don't know the exemption this year, $20,000, I may not have to pay any tax on it.
That's true.
Gift exemption.
Yeah, yes.
But the lifetime is $12.3 million, it may be even higher. So if I give Dean my house for a dollar and he's a family member, because they don't care if you sell it to strangers, if I give it to a family member, that's when the IRS cares. So if I give it to you for a dollar, I can essentially file a gift tax form to my accountant, applying that to my lifetime exemption, and walk away. No one has to pay any taxes on it.
You can, but then it's mine and not yours, and you're still alive and still maybe living in it. And is that something you want to do? I mean, yes, you could arrange your affairs in such a way as to make that a tax-free transfer, so long as you understand the risks of gifting something to somebody, it becomes theirs, not yours.
Right. I guess the implication of that is if that individual then in the future decides to sell it, that step up cost basis is going to cost them significantly. That.
Yes. Yeah. So.
All right. Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for calling and interposing those interesting questions. Have a great day.
Likewise. Take care.
Go, Go Birds. Mm-hmm. Line three, Eric, Marilyn. Hi, Marilyn. Welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, how are you?
Good morning, Mary.
Well, thanks. What's going on?
Yeah, I was thinking about revamping my policy anyway, and come due in June, I have an older vehicle. I had another vehicle on my policy that shouldn't have been on there, but the vehicle was totaled out, but I kept the full coverage on that I had. So what type of coverage do I need? It's a 2006 Ford Focus. I don't have comprehensive, I'm not sure I'm motorist, uninsured mode, I don't have none of that, but I'm going to revamp my policy come
yeah.
June.
Well, understand that the whatever the value of your car is, the uninsured and underinsured motorist has nothing to do with that. So you can have the ugliest, cheapest hoopty in oldest. The world. And you still want to have uninsured and underinsured motorists because that's your body. If you're involved in an accident and you sustain significant injury and the person who hit you doesn't have enough insurance coverage, that's the coverage that will pay you for those bodily injuries. So it has nothing whatsoever to do with your car. Completely separate. You can choose not to have comprehensive and collision because you have an older car and you don't want to spend the money to insure a risk that you can easily replace. That's okay. But you can't leave the house without uninsured and underinsured motorists because, God forbid, if you're sitting at a traffic light and somebody rear-ends you and you sustain injuries, puts you in the hospital, you're out of work, you're suffering with these injuries for months or years or your lifetime, and the person who hit you doesn't have any insurance or doesn't have enough insurance, in either scenario, your uninsured and underinsured motorist will kick in and will pay you for those injuries as if they were the insurance company for the at-fault party.
Right. Should I keep the full coverage on it? Or?
Well, what's the value of the car?
Oh, probably about $3,000-$4,000. It's the old car.
And what are you paying a year for comprehensive and collision?
I don't have it.
Okay, good. Then you're taking a risk for $3,000 or $4,000, and that's an acceptable risk if you can come out of. If for some reason your car is stolen or it's a tree falls on it and it's crushed,
right.
Or as our prior caller said, a nest of squirrels drops down and
right.
causes you to run off the road. You're risking $3,000 or $4,000. That's all. But if you get in the car, you have any kind of accident and you sustain some significant injury or any injury and the person doesn't have insurance, in that scenario, you're risking $15,000, $30,000, maybe $100,000 because your claim for those bodily injuries will go uncompensated unless you have uninsured and underinsured motorist.
Okay.
You know, medical costs are out of control, so...
Medical costs are out of control. Yes. All right. Thank you. Have a great
thank
day.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day.
Medical costs are a whole different line item of insurance. We call that PIP, Personal Injury Protection.
My God.
And the PIP coverage of your policy typically is $5,000. And that goes pretty quickly.
Really quick.
Now, should you have more PIP coverage? Maybe, maybe not. Why? Well, if you have good health insurance behind you, once the PIP coverage has exhausted, your health insurance will kick in. So you may not be underinsured. But if you don't have good health insurance, then maybe you do need to have more medical coverage on your auto policy. And why is that? Because we live in a no-fault state. And that means that if somebody comes along and crashes into your car and it's no fault of yours whatsoever, you, under the law, are still responsible to pay for your own medical bills. The other party has no legal obligation to pay for your own medical bills, at least for the first $5,000 of payments.
I remember when this came into effect in the 70s and early 80s.
1984.
Yep. I'll never forget that period.
Not that I was alive at that time, but.
Sure you were, Dean. you were around, maybe.
At least I wasn't practicing law at that time.
There we go. So, Dean, let's recap. Comprehensive, collision, underinsured, uninsured, the list goes on and on. It's so, like I say, the same word, nuanced.
It is nuanced. You do need to understand it. But lucky for you, I do.
Mm.
And all you got to do is send me an email to dean@myphillylawyer.com. We'll chat about it. We'll email back and forth, and you'll get a lesson, and you'll be educated about what you need and why certain things you don't need.
Now, to cut through the mire of the morass, so what must people definitely have?
Well, we're not going to get there until after this two-minute break.
Okay.
We'll be right back, folks.
I grew up here, went to school here, raised my kids here. I know Philly, and Philly knows me. I started My Philly Lawyer because if you've been injured, your lawyer matters, and choosing someone local matters. It matters to the insurance company, it matters to the jury, and most importantly, your lawyer matters when it comes to getting results. If you've been injured, call us now, 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I grew up here, went to school here, raised my kids here. I know Philly, and Philly knows me. I started My Philly Lawyer because if you've been injured, your lawyer matters, and choosing someone local matters. It matters to the insurance company, it matters to the jury, and most importantly, your lawyer matters when it comes to getting results. If you've been injured, call us now, 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I grew up here, went to school here, raised my kids here. I know Philly, and Philly knows me. I started My Philly Lawyer because if you've been injured, your lawyer matters, and choosing someone local matters. It matters to the insurance company, it matters to the jury, and most importantly, your lawyer matters when it comes to getting results. If you've been injured, call us now, 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. I grew up here, went to school here, raised my kids here. I know Philly, and Philly knows me. I started My Philly Lawyer because if you've been injured, your lawyer matters, and choosing someone local matters. It matters to the insurance company, it matters to the jury, and most importantly, your lawyer matters when it comes to getting results. If you've been injured, call us now, 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Yeah, baby, we're back. I'm Dean Weitzman, your host, every Saturday morning right here on Court Radio 100.3. WR&B.
And Classics 107.9.
All right, guys. Okay.
You
okay.
Know, we got to get slick with it, baby.
The legal. We got to do the legal. I am a licensed FCC operator.
Y'all had a good holiday. All right.
Guess what?
Yeah.
Guess what's coming up?
What's that?
Dean's birthday.
Oh yeah. That's right.
Yeah. But not yet. Almost.
Wednesday.
You'll be 50. 40. 50.
6-3.
Ooh. Welcome to the tub. Welcome to the clean. To the team.
Yeah, whatever you said.
Yeah, welcome to the club. Welcome to the team.
I'm not coming voluntarily.
Hey, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
You look well, sir.
Thank you. Who ever thought you'd get to be 63?
Whoever thought you'd be 63 and as active as you and we are.
That's true.
It didn't look like that when we were young.
No, my dad at 63 had survived a massive, massive, massive heart attack and had pacemakers and was, you know, already 10 years into it. I mean, because that happened in his early 50s.
Right.
So he was, I remember walking up Vet Stadium. You go up the ramps to go to your seats.
Mm-hmm.
He got halfway up the ramp and couldn't go any further.
Couldn't breathe. Yeah.
I had to sit him down and wait for him to catch his breath. And that was in his late 50s or early 60s. So, yes, I'm not that.
Nowhere near, man.
No.
Come on.
No. 60s now are like the 50s, I guess, or maybe the 40s.
40s.
Yeah.
Depends.
Yeah.
Depends.
All right. Anyway, we got a couple callers. Let's see if we can figure this out before we leave. Line two, Shirley.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, Shirley.
I have a question about life insurance.
Mm-hmm.
My mother was unaware that my stepsister had took out life insurance on her. She just recently found out about it. And she asked me to try to help her out with it because she didn't know about it. And she doesn't like it, you know, especially when it was done behind her back. So what can we do?
That's a great question. I'm not sure the answer right off the top of my head. I know that in order to have a life insurance policy, purchase one and be a beneficiary, that one has to have an insurable interest. So I might be able to take a life insurance policy out on Manuel because he's on my show and maybe considered an employee, and I would have to replace him. There may be costs associated with losing Manuel. The show ratings might drop precipitously.
Plummet.
Yeah, it could cost me a fortune.
And so
I have what's deemed an insurable interest. I don't need Manuel's permission. I can take a life insurance policy out. In fact, Shirley, you've given me a good idea. Maybe. Given the way Manuel lives his life, maybe I should take a policy out.
What
on
are you
him.
Trying to say?
But when you're skydiving.
Bungee jumping.
Okay. I'm entitled to do that because I have an insurable interest in Manuel's life. A family member, certain family members, not all, may have an insurable interest in someone's life. Whether these folks do or don't, I don't know.
I guess the question is, when somebody does it and the insured
doesn't know. Yeah. Well, that's hard to do. I mean, I would take an insurance policy out on Manuel, but they'd have to probably do a physical exam. They'd have to, determine. So I'm not sure how you get to have a policy without the insured even knowing about it. But I guess a cheaper policy, it's possible. Yeah. You know, one of those like $20,000 policies. Those policies, probably the insurance companies give out
water cakes.
Candy, on Halloween.
Like keychains and promotional
items. Candy corn.
Yeah.
Isn't that illegal? Wouldn't the person who they're taking an insurance out on have to sign some paper to get their consent of them taking out insurance on them? And especially if they do not have an insurable interest. She's my stepsister, and my mom is married to her father. And our dad, I don't know whether he asked her or what, but wouldn't they have to have my mother's consent?
Besides,
my stepsister does nothing for my mother. I take care of my mother.
Right. The answer is, as I started this conversation, I'm not 100% sure. I don't think so. I think if there's an insurable interest, and you say there is no insurable interest, but then you say it's her stepdaughter currently married to her father, perhaps she's protecting her father for having to pay for the death of your mom, i.e. the headstone, the burial, and all of that. Maybe this is, their plan is, hey, I'm going to take this policy out. When mom dies, we'll take care of that for you. I don't know. But there may be an insurable interest there. And I wouldn't write it off just because she's a step. And if there's an insurable interest, I'm not certain that you need to have the permission of the insured because it's your policy. You're the owner of it. You're the beneficiary. You're the one who's paying for it. And if there's an insurable interest, I think that, that may be enough.
You wouldn't think that the insurance policy or the insurance holder itself would do anything illegal.
If there was an illegal act done, then maybe they wouldn't be collecting the policy when the time comes.
Or that,
But as I say, send me an email to dean@myphillylawyer.com because I would have a conversation with a life insurance specialist and be happy to report back what I've discovered, Shirley.
Okay, I appreciate that. But they do know that I have insurance out on my mother.
Well, you can have more than one policy. You can have more than one policy on an insured. Yeah, I have four life insurance policies for all my exes.
live in Texas.
Woo! All right, Shirley, have a great day. Thanks for calling Court Radio.
Happy birthday.
Thanks, dear. Folks, we're all out of time. Teresa, I'm so sorry I didn't get to you. Just send me an email to dean@myphillylawyer.com, and I promise to answer your question. Ladies and gentlemen, men, women, and children, I hope we've shed some light on some important topics today. If you have the need for an attorney, you can always find me at My Philly Lawyer, 215-227-2727. The number for all things legal in Philly. Talk to you soon and see you next Saturday. Same time, same place.